I'm Tanzina Vega. Welcome back to The Takeaway. When mass killings like the one in Pittsburgh spark a national conversation, parents face the challenge of talking to their kids about difficult things like hate and senseless violence. And those of you with kids have been sharing your thoughts with us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Hi, this is Clary from Palmer. And we tell our kids that people that behave violently against peaceful people are pathetic. We talk to them about being vigilant about the people that surround you, to report suspicious behavior. We try not to be overly alarmist. We also tell them that most people are good and to focus on making positive relationships.
Hi, I'm calling from Kirkwood, Missouri. When things like this happen, my kids and I talk about the root causes of them, such as trauma that this person may have had in their past or social isolation they may be experiencing right now. So we just sort of talk about what's going on in people's lives that turn them so wrong.
This is Bashan Mann calling from Washington, D.C. I have two daughters, age 9 and 11. We don't shy away from conversations. We don't try to hide what's happening. So we just have a very open and honest dialogue.
And our next guest has been thinking a lot about this. Jennifer Rich is an assistant professor at Rowan University and the director of research and education at the Rowan Center for Holocaust and Genocide Studies. And she's been talking with both her students in the classroom and to her kids at home. Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So you're the mother of two young Jewish boys. What was their reaction to the horror that we witnessed over the weekend?
They were scared. They took it really personally. They didn't know how to react. My younger son in particular said almost immediately, "What? You mean people want to kill me more just because I'm Jewish?" He asked if he needed to tell his public school teacher about this because in the event of a real lockdown at public school, would a bad guy come for his class first because he was Jewish? Would they know?
Do children process these types of events differently than adults do?
Yeah, in a word, yes, they do. Children, of course, depending on age, right? Children aren't able to understand that things like this are statistically rare. And while we're all scared as a country right now, children and adults alike are scared about what's going on. We're all having a really hard time processing this. Children, and the younger the child, the harder this is to understand, have no sense that this statistically probably won't happen to me. It feels very immediate. It feels very scary. And they don't have the tools to make sense of what's gone on.
You mentioned, you said we're all scared. And I think I think that's true for a lot of people, and I'm assuming you mean just generally across the United States with what's happening today. As an adult, how much of that, of your own fear, should you show your children or not show your children? How honest should you be with your kids about your own concerns?
I think there's a fine line that we want to walk as parents, and I'm answering this as a parent first, not as a teacher. I think as a parent, we want our kids to understand that feeling scared, sad, confused is a really healthy and normal reaction, while walking that really fine line of it's okay to go to synagogue, it's okay to go to Hebrew school, it's okay to go to a grocery store and not worry about being killed, not worry about violence. And at the same time, this happened. Unfortunately, I don't believe that this violence is slowing down necessarily in today's political climate. I think the rhetoric, the polarization is really amped up. And so we want to let them know that they're safe, that they're in a community that protects them, that cares about them. And they should take comfort in that and understand there are also procedures in place to help keep them safe.
You talk about dropping off your kids at an emergency session of Hebrew school the day after the massacre. How helpful was that, and how helpful was the community response for your kids to understand what had happened?
It was helpful. It was particularly helpful for my older son, who is in middle school now, and took comfort from the fact that he was with lots of other Jewish kids at the same time that he was processing this, they talked about the fact that they were a community, that they were safe, that they were instituting lockdown and evacuation procedures, both from the religious school classrooms and the synagogue building. And he came out and reported that that was helpful.
How do you tell children about something that's this random, right? It seems mm-hmm. very pervasive, but it's also very random. Mm-hmm. It feels like you mentioned it could happen in a supermarket, it could happen in a synagogue, it could happen at a movie theater. Mm-hmm. What do you do with the randomness? How do you help children understand that? And also, how do you help them not feel anxiety about this? Because I can tell you, as adults, I feel anxiety about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that what you just said is exactly it, right? This is not something that happens every day. As a country, we tune into this extraordinary gun violence. We don't tune into everyday ordinary gun violence, unfortunately. We privilege gun violence when it is huge and when it happens in a movie theater, in a synagogue, in a supermarket. And I think we need to amp down a little bit of the rhetoric around that. It is so scary, and it is also so statistically small that it's going to happen to our children. And I think we need to really help them understand that, that it is scary, and also we're doing everything that we can to keep them safe. I don't think we can promise them you're always going to be safe, because unfortunately that's not the case in 2018 in America.
And that's a new reality. I mean, how is there a specific approach that parents should be thinking about? I was thinking about this segment. There's a friend of mine who had a very extensive script for how he was going to think about talking to his children. What approaches do you think work best?
I think giving children the facts about what happened is really important. I think kids are going to hear the facts anyway. Kids are going to hear about what went on in school, in their classrooms, on the playground, on the bus, in the lunchroom, in the locker room.
It's ubiquitous today. We can't get away from it.
They're going to hear about what went on. So I think we, as parents, we really need to talk to our kids about what's going on. We need to give them the facts. We need to give them space to ask questions. We need to try to focus on, for kids, especially kids that are nervous about this, a plan. How do we stay safe? We stay safe by knowing our surroundings. We stay safe by going to an adult if we're nervous about something, by if we see something, say something. I think we also can empower children and students by giving back.
In other words, having them contribute back to communities that have lost something.
Absolutely. And so that doesn't keep them safe, but it does give them a sense of empowerment. So something bad has happened, something scary has happened, and now I am becoming a helper in X way. And especially for younger children, I think that's really empowering. It gives them an action.
Yeah, it sounds like the Mr. Rogers thing, always look for the helpers.
Always look for the helpers.
I still take that advice. Jennifer Rich is an assistant professor and the director of research and education at the Rowan Center for Holocaust and Genocide Studies. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me.
And that's our show for today. You can join the conversation on the Takeaways Facebook page or follow us on Twitter. We're at The Takeaway. And you can also connect with me. I'm at Tanzina Vega. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.